go. Finally, we got it. Yes. So if you've never been baptized, you've been waiting for the right opportunity, don't delay. We'd love to dunk you. And that's next weekend that we're doing that. Is this thing on now? No, of course not. Can you guys hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yes and no? All right, well, I'll speak loud. There we go. Well, good morning. How are you guys doing today? You guys are the ones that use your cell phones to wake up this morning. The rest of the church that's got old analog clocks, they'll be here in about 20, 30 minutes or so. We'll see them as they hang out with us. Maybe we'll do a second service for them. But so glad to have you here today. And today, I want to talk about a subject that's a lot of fun to talk about, all right? It's super fun. In fact, as I put it on the front of the bulletin or we put it on the notes, I thought, people are going to look at the title of the message and they're going to turn away. Because what we're talking about today is authority. How many guys just love just talking about authority? It sounds super fun, right? Some of us have like a really bad idea of authority, right? And I think sometimes we do because maybe we had a bad example of authority figure. Maybe a policeman. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was somebody else in our lives that gave us a bad example of what authority looks like. It's like there was a rancher in Texas. And he was just out minding his own business, kind of dealing with his animals. And all of a sudden, a DEA agent comes up to him. And he says to him, "Hey, look, mister, I'm here to search all of these fields, all of your ranch, to look for illicit and illegal drugs." And he's like, "All right, no problem, officer. I got nothing to hide. Just don't go in that field over there." Right? And so the DEA agent, he kind of gets proud and a little cocky, right? And he said, No, you don't understand. I am here on the authority of the federal government." And he reaches into his back pocket and he pulls out his badge. So you see that badge? You see that badge? That badge says that I can go anywhere I want to go, on any land I want to go, with no questions asked. Woo! Brian's in the house with no questions asked and no questions answered, right? And the rancher's like, "Hey, whoa, no problem, officer. Go ahead, do what you got to do." And he goes back to his work. It was just a few minutes later, you can imagine where the DEA agent decided to go. He went to that part of the field. Well, a few minutes later, he hears a loud scream. Sounds like a little girl screaming, but it's this DEA agent, and he's running as fast as he can because in that field is a long-horned bull who's really angry. And he's chasing this officer, and the officer's running, and he could just tell the officer's not going to get away from this bull. This bull's fast. He's mean. He knows exactly what to do. He's going to gore him. And the rancher stops and he looks over the fence and he says, "Officer, show him your badge." Right? The badge didn't work in that case. Right? We've all seen people use authority in the wrong way. Am I right? We've got examples. We've got tape. We've seen it on YouTube, right? We've seen it on Facebook. Everyone shared it, whatever it was. But this morning, I want to talk about right authority. I want to talk about the sort of authority that God has, that Jesus specifically has. See, Jesus' authority, although it's supreme, although it is ultimate, wasn't flaunted like we often see. It was humble. Though he spoke with authority, he was not like some of the leaders that we expect to see that have power. Sometimes we see people in power and we expect, man, he's going to have a giant sword. He's going to ride on a horse. He's going to do all those things. But Jesus gave us a different perspective of leadership, a different type of leadership, a servant leadership. But we're going to talk about his authority because it's something that's so important. So this morning, we're going to dig in. If you've been following along with us, we've been going through the book of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 4 today. If you have your Bibles, turn there. We're going to pick it up the story at Luke 4:31. But today, I want to look at what sort of authority Jesus has. And our story begins like this, Luke 4:31. "And he," Jesus, "went down from Capernaum." He just left his hometown where they didn't give him a warm welcome. They kind of just like, "What is this guy?" So he goes down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. Say authority.
Authority.
You guys sound good today. Jesus spoke with authority everywhere he went in his messages. They rang true as one that was speaking not just with great opinions, but as a man with great authority. Jesus spoke with authority. And the people, they gathered at the city of Capernaum, and unlike what the people from last week that we saw in his hometown,
They recognized Jesus was speaking from authority. Now, Jesus, again, he was not an earthly high priest, although, as the word we just shared, he is our high priest in heaven. But he didn't have the title. He wasn't an earthly king with an army and a soldiers that surrounded him, as many of the kings of the day were, right? He didn't have the trappings of power, but he was a man with authority. And this morning, the big idea, what I believe it's important for us to understand as a church, as a people, as followers of this great man, Jesus, something that we would consider a core doctrine, something that we would hold tightly with a closed hand and say, this is not up for debate, this is not up for argument. And it's this idea, this, that we believe that Jesus is God. We believe he's God. Now, there's a lot of people that believe a lot of things about Jesus, but when we look at the scriptures, when I look at, and Matthew, this is just for you, when I look at the scriptures, I believe that Jesus is God, that he is God in the flesh. And he was not just some great teacher, a great moral teacher, although he was a really good teacher. He had a lot of great things to say. Jesus was not just some humanitarian that cared for the hungry and those in need, although he did those things. Jesus was not just a prophet, someone that spoke the things of God before they ever came to pass, although he was a prophet and he did speak the future. See, we believe that Jesus is God. And that's a big difference. That's a big difference because he's got authority to teach, authority to speak, authority to do things that none of us mortal men are able to do because he's got the authority of the Father. He is God in the flesh. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the rest of this scene, but there are many, many texts we can look to as we open up the Bible to, as we build our understanding of who Jesus is, that he was and is God. But this morning, we're going to look at, again, a little bit of the story of what Jesus did. And this morning, we're going to look at some of the things he did about speaking to sick people and watching them recover, about speaking to the demonic forces of this world and watching them submit themselves to Jesus, about even seeing Jesus speak to wind and waves, and they say, man, I'm going to listen and obey. I don't know about you, but yesterday I was out on the baseball field, and there was raining on my head, and I'm like, rain, stop it. Nothing happened. It just kept coming. So there's something pretty remarkable about Jesus and what we see, and perhaps you're here today and you're not sure yet. Hopefully today as we look at some of the things that Jesus does, you'll have a clearer and more accurate answer of this thing. But before we dig into the rest of the story, I would be remiss if I talked about Jesus being God without sharing one other verse. I want you to read Colossians 1:15. It'll be on the screens with me. You can read it. You don't have to read it aloud. But it says this. It says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And if that weren't enough, it continues in verse 19 and says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Amen. See, we believe that Jesus is God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We believe that he is God, and he was the image of the invisible God. And though he was a regular man like you and me, he was more than that. Contained within him was the fullness of God. He was fully God. And this is an important thing for us to understand as we look at the rest of these scriptures. See, because some who aren't Christians aren't really comfortable with that idea, are they? They're okay with thinking of Jesus as being a good moral teacher. Like he's got some cool stuff to say about, you know, treating your neighbors right and taking care of the poor. I like those things that Jesus says. But when he says that he's God and he says that we should submit our lives to his lordship, that's where I get a little uncomfortable. That's what some people would say. They'd say, I'm okay with him being a prophet. In fact, even Muslims would say that Jesus is a prophet of God, yet they don't believe that he was God. So there's something important. In fact, the great mind C.S. Lewis is famous as saying this. I have to share a C.S. Lewis quote. He says this, I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. They say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. And that is one thing that we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who thought he was a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool or spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left it up to us. He did not intend to. It's a great word. See, as we've seen in the Colossians text, and as we're going to look at the story in the book of Luke, Jesus was and is God. And Jesus spoke as one with authority because he was God. And as we're going to see, he had authority over things. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 33 through 37, and continue the story. And in the synagogue, as Jesus was teaching, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him into the midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. Say, no harm. And they were all amazed. And they said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out to every place in the surrounding region. Let's dig into that just a little bit this morning, because we see this idea that Jesus has authority, not just authority, but Jesus has authority over demons. And I think that's an important thing for us to understand. See, church is designed to be a hospital, not a museum. Some of us have this idea of church as being a place that all the righteous people go, and they kind of go put themselves on display, and there's, you know, they dust all the dusty edges off, and they just kind of sit there and hang out, and that's where all the righteous people live. Now, I don't think anyone in this room would believe that, but some people believe that. They have that idea in their mind. That's where righteous people go. In fact, I see it all the time as I see people from our food pantry, or I see people visit our campus for another reason, and they don't want to step foot in the church because they're like, "I'm not good enough to be in there." And I say, "Well, you're not good enough to be out. You got to go inside. That's where all of the broken people are." See, church is meant to be a hospital, not a museum for the righteous. And what I love about this story is you see in church, there's a guy who's messed up. Can I just say it's okay to come to church when your life isn't right? It's okay to come. That's where you need to be. And this man is hanging out in the synagogue, listening to the teachings of Jesus, and he's got demonic oppression. He's got things going on in his life that he cannot control. And it's something important that we understand that. He's got a demon. He's got the effects of demonic in his life. But some of us, we think of church as just a clean place. Only people can come if they talk like me, if they dress the right way, if they use the right word. Not those words, only these words. Not if they smoke the wrong things or their sins are different than my sins. My sins are okay. I'm dealing with mine. But those sins, no, no, no. You can't come in. And what I love is that Jesus, man, there's a man hanging out in church and his life isn't right yet. And yet he encounters Jesus. Let me just say something. When we encounter Jesus, that's what changes everything. Sometimes we just got to get rid of all the obstacles so we can get to Jesus, so that we can get fixed, we can get restored, we can get healed. And one of the things we learn about this, specifically about demons, is this. The demons know Jesus. They know his authority. They understand it. See, we do believe that the demonic is a real thing. Sometimes we're like, "Oh, well, we don't believe that stuff." Well, yeah, we do believe there is a spiritual battle taking place in this world. And these demons recognize Jesus. In fact, this demon speaks and calls Jesus by name. He calls him the Holy One of God, because although people in the world don't often submit themselves to the lordship of Jesus, God's given us that choice. The demons are not in that same place. And it's true, we don't see much of the demonic afflictions at work in these days, but we still do see demonic work. We're in a spiritual battle each and every day. And it's true. Though we don't often see it with our eyes, there are things going on around us all the time. I'll share just a quick story. My wife and I pastored in Santa Cruz and for a couple years, and we'd often see transient, you know, homeless guys, mostly guys, or some girls as well, but mostly guys would walk through, and a number of them, they just had lives that were just pretty jacked up. And many of them dealt with mental illness, and they dealt with other afflictions, but what I believe more than that is many of them dealt with the demonic. They dealt with the spirit of the demonic that was afflicting their lives. And in fact, there was all, you'd always tell, because it'd be a Sunday morning and someone would just stand up in the middle of me teaching the Bible and they'd just stand up and say, "I'm Jesus Christ." I'd say, "Well, that's pretty easy to identify, right? You're not Jesus. I know Jesus. You're not him. You smell like alcohol. That's not what Jesus does," right? And it was pretty easy to tell. And God will give us those moments of discernment, but it's pretty easy sometimes to tell when there's a demonic thing going on in our midst. And God says he'll give us the discernment to distinguish between his voice and some other voice, but sometimes it's easy. Like, there's an example, one time we were praying for a dear older lady, and all of a sudden she starts just growling like a dog and starts speaking in a darker voice, and I'm like, what is going on, right? And I'm thinking, well, this is not her. She's a sweet old lady. All of a sudden, she starts growling at me. And thankfully, there was one of my other pastors that was mentoring me at the time that began to pray for her. And we saw her be delivered of that demonic thing that was taking place. And she was free. She was free after that. It was an amazing thing. And it's something that we will see in our day and we will see in our time. And it's important for us to understand that when we see the demonic work in the books of the Bible, we see that the men and women that deal with it, they're not afraid. In fact, that's the second idea. Jesus isn't afraid of the demonic, but he confronts it with authority. See, it says Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." Now, when the demon had been afflicting this man for who knows how long, suddenly and immediately it comes out of this man, and it comes out of him without hurting him. I think that's important. I love Jesus. I so love Jesus. But one of the things I love about Jesus is just how smooth and calm he is, right? You'll see it often throughout the Gospels. You see people freaking out, "Oh my God, there's something happening." And he's like, "It's okay," right? You see it happen with the disciples in a few minutes. We're going to look at the story of a boat. You see it happen here, and there are people, I imagine, like, "Oh," Jesus just like, "Be quiet. Sit down." And he commands this demon with authority. In fact, it's something I see often in people that deal with traumatic situations, right? I see this kind of calmness in the face of our firefighters and paramedics, and you see it in police officers that deal with traumatic situations. Everyone else is freaking out, and they're just like, "It's cool." See it in doctors and nurses. In fact, it's one of the things I've always admired about my father. Hi, Dad. He's probably watching at home. But as an emergency department doc, everyone's freaking out. There's like a cut, or there's blood, or there's something gushing, and he's just like, "It's okay. Let's deal with it." In fact, my favorite example of that is my son. I've told this story before. When he injured his finger, I thought his finger was going to fall off, and we're running to the emergency room, and all of us are just freaking out, like, "Ah!" And he's calm. He's cool. He's collected. He's caring, but he's calm. And I just love that. And what I love about Jesus is that in the midst of this demon standing up in the middle of their service, he's not afraid. He's not freaking out. He's calm. He's cool about it. Because he's not afraid, because he has authority over demons. And so we see Jesus do just that. This man cries out and he rebukes the demon and casts it out. And we see Jesus' authority at work. Even the demons obey him. Let's continue our text. Verse 38 continues Luke 4. "And Jesus arose and left the synagogue, and he entered into Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately," say immediately.
"Immediately."
"Immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him," to Jesus. "And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, 'You are the Son of God.' But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ." Now here again, we see even more of Jesus' authority. We see that Jesus has authority over sickness. He's got authority over sickness. And it's a pretty remarkable thing. We see it on multiple occasions. And as we read the book of Luke more, we'll see it even more and more that he's got authority over those sicknesses. First up is Simon's mother-in-law. By the way, this is kind of an anecdote. See, Simon's married. That's kind of cool. That's cool to see that Simon is married. But she's sick with high fever. And it sounds like she is pretty ill indeed. And when you look through the other Gospels, as I've shared before, the many Gospels kind of give us different details sometimes than other Gospels. And Luke, being a physician, gives us this little nugget. She wasn't just sick, she had a high fever. That's a very specific thing that was going on. She had a fever. And it's an important thing to note. Jesus does something we see him do nowhere else before this or after this in the book of Luke. We see Jesus speak to the sickness. He talks to the specific sickness in demonstrating he's got authority over sickness. And he tells it to go away. In fact, if that's all we read, we might think, that's a little weird, right? Jesus, did you not think through what you were going to say here? He's talking to an illness, but that's not the end. Because it says he's not just talking to the illness, but he talks to the illness and immediately. Say immediately. Immediately it goes away. Immediately her fever is gone and she's able to get up. If you've ever had a high fever, you know, you don't want to get out of bed. You're not going to do anything except for maybe eat a bowl of soup, right? Maybe that, not even so much. But she gets up and all of a sudden she's got energy. She's able to go about what she's doing. And that's how long the power of God takes to work in our lives. Now, obviously, it's up to God to do what he wants to do in our lives. There are seasons when, man, we'll see God's faithfulness over a long stretch, just as Matthew shared this morning, where, man, I'm not gonna see God move in the way that I hope he's going to move, but he's doing something different than what I'm expecting in my life. He's teaching me his faithfulness over the long haul that, man, 15 years later, and I'm still here. I thought I was going to be dead, but I'm not. I'm still here. And I say, thank you, Jesus. But there's moments where the power of God is going to break through and we're going to see those immediately sort of things. Where we're going to see God heal immediately. Where we're going to see God break off addictions immediately. Where we're going to see God restore brokenness immediately. And that's exactly what happens here. Immediately she gets up. And that's an amazing thing to see the power of God. The power of God is amazing when we will trust the Father. It's amazing what sort of miracles we'll see when we'll set our hearts to an expectancy to seeing those miracles, when we'll say, God, I trust you. In fact, I got another funny story about my beautiful bride who's smiling at me. She knows I'm going to share this story. I asked her if I could because it's one that I always chuckle at. Many of you may or may not know, many years ago we operated a gym and my wife was there just always ministering to these ladies and just praying with them. She's just a prayer warrior. And she'd be in there, there'd be people or not, she'd just be praying over the machines and praying over the ladies as they walked in, and she'd be praying with them, and just powerful things would happen. We saw marriages that got, you know, healed up. We saw all sorts of cool things happen. But one day, we had this telephone system that was just a pile of junk. And it was staticky and just have all sorts of issues. And one day, you know, she tells me this as we're eating dinner. She says, you know, today after praying with one of the ladies, I just got really irritated with that phone. I said, yeah, no kidding. I'm irritated too. And she said, so what I did is I laid hands on it. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. I'd lay hands on that thing and chuck it too, right? And no. She said, no, I laid hands on it and I prayed for it. And I'm just thinking, cuckoo, cuckoo, right? Like, you did what? You prayed for a telephone? What? Okay. And if that was the end of the story, I would just, you know, back up a little bit. But she says, I prayed for it, and it's fixed. Like, what do you mean it's fixed? Did you, like, take it apart while you were praying for it and put it back? No, I prayed for it. I laid hands, and it's fixed. Thought, man, you should pray for my computers because they're broken all the time. And it was fixed from that point forward. Praise God. But Jesus commands the sickness to leave this woman. And it does. Some would say that's a coincidence. Some would say what happened to that telephone, that's a coincidence. You just prayed and coincidentally it happened. Well, I'll tell you something. Coincidences follow prayer. Okay? Can I just say that? The coincidences follow the power of prayer. But Jesus commands the sickness to leave and it does. Coincidence, right? Well, let's continue. And then the sun was setting, and all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Coincidence again, right?
Right.
It's amazing. See, Jesus does some pretty amazing miracles. Right in the middle of the synagogue, he casts out a demon, and people are like, what? And then he lays his hands on the sick, and they recover. And people are like, what? Right? And then what happens? People are like, this Jesus, there's something going on here. Word spreads. Say, hey, Tommy, bring your sister over. I know she's been to doctors, and they've been trying, and they tried this, and they tried that. Bring her over to Jesus. Let's see what Jesus can do. Jesus lays his hands on her and heals her. And then someone else goes to, hey, get your cousin. He's got a broken leg. Come on, bring him over. Let's see what Jesus can do. Let's see what the power of God can do. And sometimes we will try everything else before we'll turn to God. We'll try everything else. But one day they saw the power of God at work, and they said, hey, why not we ask God? Why not lay hands on that telephone and pray for it? Why not? I tried yelling at it. It didn't work. I tried hitting it on the ground. It didn't work either. But maybe I'll pray for it. See, Jesus has authority even over sickness. Now, for the next example, I'm going to fast forward a little bit in the story of Luke to chapter 8, because I believe it's important that we look at these three together. Luke chapter 8. And this morning, I want to talk about this third level of authority. Jesus seems to have authority over all creation. Say all creation. All creation. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Let's take a sneak peek. We'll get there again, but let's look at that. It says this, one day he got into a boat with his disciples. Jesus says, I'm getting in a boat. And he said to them, let's go across to the other side of the lake. So they set out and they sailed. As they sailed, he fell asleep. Now let me just pause and say, I love that we see in the scriptures, Jesus taking a nap. Did you know that sometimes the most holy thing you can do is take a nap? Can I get an amen for that one? Especially on Daylight Savings Day, today, go take a nap with Jesus. And he fell asleep, and the windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. We're dying. And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid. These disciples who had seen Jesus cast out demons, they had seen Jesus lay his hands on hundreds or thousands of people and heal them. This Jesus they had seen do all these things. They said, they marveled and said to one another, who then is this that he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him? See, in it we see Jesus and his disciples, and man, there's a storm raging, right? There's a storm raging. Now, we don't have time to dig too far into this story, but let me just tell you that when you got a bunch of trained fishermen hanging out on a boat and they're scared because the waves are too big, it's probably a bad day. You know what I mean? I watched Deadliest Catch. I thought, man, I could totally do that, right? I could totally go out there and catch crabs like that. And then I get on a little boat and I'm like, oh, no. But if this fishermen are scared, you know that it's a big storm. But what does Jesus do? He calmly and coolly speaks. He speaks to the wind. He speaks to the waves. The same voice that he used, as we saw in the book of Colossians, to speak creation into existence. It's created by him, for him. Remember those words. The same voice he used to speak creation came from his mouth when he used those same voice to calm the waves and calm the wind. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear this story, one that was corroborated by many witnesses, I think, surely there's some sort of authority here. Again, I was out in the rain yesterday, and I was talking to it, telling it to stop, and it didn't listen. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that sort of power or authority. So when we hear that, we say, he must surely be God. Now, I have yelled at my fair share of storms, haven't you? Now, I'm not just talking about the kind that rain on you. I'm talking about life storms. You know what I mean? The kind of things that happen that, man, I don't like. I feel like Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump just yelling at the storms. Maybe with nicer language, more righteous language. But I'm still yelling at those storms. Wishing away the clouds, cursing the waves. Hoping that they'll subside and go away so my fear can rest. But unlike Jesus, my words don't calm the storms. See, Jesus awoke and he spoke. Because his words have authority. Yes. See, when Jesus speaks, demons listen. When Jesus speaks, the sickness flees. When Jesus speaks, the storms become calm. And some of you are here, and maybe you're going through a storm. You feel like, man, I'm going through stuff that I need some calm. And maybe you're here today, and you're going through life without his lordship, without the power of God. God wants you to experience his power, his presence, and his lordship. Some of you are enduring torment, maybe like Jesus. The demons know your name and they remind you of your mistakes. They remind you, unlike Jesus, who was without mistake, without sin, they remind you of your flaws. They remind you of how you messed up. And you need a touch from God. You need to be set free. Jesus has authority and is Lord over all of these things. He's Lord over the demons and exercises power over them to cast them out and to destroy them. He's not afraid of those things because they're under his authority. He's Lord over sickness, the fever of Simon's mother-in-law, and the many, many sick people that came to Jesus demonstrate he's got authority. He is Lord over sickness. He's even Lord over all of creation. We see him speak to the winds and the waves, and they obey his voice. He's Lord over all creation. He's Lord over all these things, over sickness, over demons, over the created world itself. And I ask you the question, is he Lord over your life? Do you have your heart surrendered to him as God? Because he is God. Is he Lord of your life? Do you submit to his rule and his reign and accept his righteousness in exchange for your junk and unrighteousness? See, that can begin today as we receive forgiveness for a life of self-rule and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Lord over all those things and I want you to be Lord over my life. That might be your first time praying it. It might be your 1,000th time reminding yourself that you believe that. Jesus, you are Lord. I'm not. Jesus, you rule the storms. I don't. I just get to sit in the boat and watch you speak. So today, I pray that you would do those things, that you would submit and say, Lord, I want you to be Lord over all areas of my life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord this morning? We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God.
This morning we talked about the simple fact that Jesus is Lord over all. Say over all. He's Lord over everything, over every situation, over every sickness, over every disease, over every situation that you find yourself in, over every storm that seems to cross your path. Jesus is Lord over all. Once you understand that, your life is going to change because there is power in Jesus' name. We can't do it on our own. We can't fabricate anything. It has to be God. See, God made each of you. Just as he spoke creation into existence, he created you. He created you for a purpose. He wants to do things in your life. He wants to deliver you from things in your life as well. Like Brian was talking, when Jesus speaks, things change. When he speaks, eternity changes. When he speaks, the demons listen, sickness flees, storms get calm. I think maybe some of you this morning, you're here and you've got a storm in your life of some sort, or maybe you have a great friend that has a storm in their life and they're just so heavy on your heart, and you know God wants to do a miracle in their lives. I don't think it's a coincidence that we sang that song, that you're the God of miracles, that we talked about expectancy, expecting God to move. Perhaps you're like the man that Jesus met at church. You're struggling with something in your life that you need to be broken free of. It may be an addiction of some sort. It may be something that's even demonic. Whatever it is, Jesus can break the chains. We just have to ask him. Perhaps you're like the sick woman that Jesus met. You've got sickness, you've got disease in your life. You have something going on in your body and you don't even know what it is. Maybe the doctors can't identify it. There's no cure for it. Jesus is the cure. Or maybe you're like Jesus' own disciples on the boat, and you're just being tossed about by the storms of life. Whether it's financial, it's something relationally with family, with friends, God knows. And he's in the boat with you. And he's the one who can speak to the storm and tell it to calm down. Like Brian said, we can't fabricate it. We can't speak to it. But in the name of Jesus, we can. And we can do so with authority that comes in the name of Jesus. So this morning, if there is something that is just so heavy on your heart and you say, God, I just need your help. I need to break free of this. I need to be free of this sickness. I need help in this situation in my life that is just hopeless. If there is something in your life or in the life of a family member or a close friend that you just want to stand up, I want to have you stand up this morning. I just want to pray over you. I want to pray Jesus over you. I want to pray that he would speak to that storm, that he would heal that sickness, that he would break those chains, because only Jesus can do that. And only can he do it if we ask and we come with an expectant heart to say, God, I know you can do it. So if that's you, whatever that is, I just want you to hold your hands up as if you're lifting that up to Jesus right now. And I'm going to pray over you this morning. Oh, Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you that your word says that we can approach your throne with confidence, Lord, to ask for what we have need of. And so right now, Father, as people are lifting their hands and they're lifting their burdens, Lord, their addictions, their sickness, Lord, as they're lifting the oppression that they feel, as they're lifting the storm that they're in, God, we thank you that you are Lord over them all. We thank you that in Jesus' name, sickness flees. In Jesus' name, cancer flees. In Jesus' name, the demons have to bow down and say, we're gone, because Jesus, his presence drives them away. In Jesus' name, the chains of addiction are broken. In Jesus' name, the storms must calm down. Oh, Father, I pray that as each thing is lifted up to you right now, would you come, Lord? Would your presence come? Would your calm come? Would your peace that surpasses all understanding come and rest upon your people, Father? Would your healing come in the name of Jesus? Oh, Father, I thank you for the chains that are broken in the name of Jesus this morning. I thank you for the power that comes only in your name. And I thank you that you love and you created and you made each one here, Lord. And there is a purpose that you have, Lord, for each of their lives. There is a purpose in the storm. There is a purpose in the sickness, Lord, because your name will be glorified at the healing. Because your name will be glorified, Lord, as the chains are broken. Lord, we give you glory. So right now, out of an expectant heart, Lord, we want to praise you. I encourage you right now, lift up your praise to Jesus and say thank you for what you are doing, God, because it is you alone. God, we thank you that you are healing right now. We thank you that you are breaking chains right now, Lord. It is the name of Jesus only that does this, Lord. God, we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's go ahead and just clap and thank the Lord for what he is doing, because I believe with an expectant heart that God is moving in his people this morning. Now, maybe you're here this morning. Go ahead and take a seat. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know what this is about, but you have that yearning in your heart that you're missing something. Let me tell you, that is Jesus. The Bible says that he died for your sin. Those things that we do wrong, those mistakes that we've made, we have to pay a price for those. And Jesus took the punishment for our sins. He died for our sins so that we can be forgiven and we can be restored to a right relationship with God the Father. So if you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my Savior, and you feel that yearning in your heart, he's calling you home. He's saying, come. Confess me as Lord and Savior. And he will come and he will live with you through his Holy Spirit inside of you. And he will teach you how to serve him. He will teach you how to live. And he will change your life for eternity, because you will no longer be condemned, Lord, but you would be in heaven with Jesus one day. And so if that's you this morning, I just want to pray with you. The Bible says that everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So if that's you this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to accept God's free gift of grace. You want to be with him in eternity. I want you to just lift your hand up so I can see you this morning and saying yes to Jesus. Amen. Thank you. God sees you. Amen. Church, would you pray this prayer with me and with those who are praying it for the first time? Father, I thank you for loving me.
For loving me.
Enough to send your son, Jesus.
Enough to send your son, Jesus.
To die in my place.
To die in my place.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I receive your free gift of grace. And I believe you paid the ultimate price.
I believe you paid the ultimate price.
You died so I can live.
You died so I could live.
I acknowledge you today.
I acknowledge you today.
And I believe that you died for me.
I believe that you died for me.
And you rose from the grave.
And you rose from the grave.
Defeating death, hell, and the grave.
Defeating death, hell, and the grave.
Thank you, Jesus, for loving me.
Thank you, Jesus, for loving me.
Thank you for your gift of grace. In
Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Let's rejoice with those who have said yes.